Welcome back to It's Just a Phase with Joe and Char. How you doing today?
I'm good. Sunday of daylight savings. I mean, we all have kids. We got together last night for my mom's birthday. So for those of you that don't know, my mom passed away when I was 21, a little over 10 years ago. And every year we get together at her favorite restaurant, Lake Street Cafe in Elkhart. Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, you lose an hour of sleep. Or do you gain it?
No, you lose.
You lose. And I'm like, yeah, I have kids. There's no difference. Like, it takes at least a week to make any difference.
I looked at this as glass half full, as I was actually going to get up at 7 o'clock today instead of 6. So that was nice.
Right. It's funny.
So yeah, we were just reminiscing a little bit. We are a little off on our scheduling of when we're recording because you want to give a little update on what you've been up to?
Yeah, I've just been traveling a lot for work. And I will say I sign up for however much traveling I do, I sign up for. My boss is really supportive. But 2 weeks ago, I had a trip to Virginia and then a trip to New York back to back. And then last week we were in Ohio. So it was just a lot of gone, a lot of help from family, a lot of Alex stepping up, you know, it's just, it gets crazy, but it's also kind of nice. So like the trip, Virginia to New York, we had a half day with no presentations.
Oh, nice.
So my coworker that I went with, she had never been to New York. So we were just tourists, like just experimenting New York together. Yeah. And we're both like active, so we would just like take a train somewhere or take the subway somewhere and then walk.
Oh, so nice.
However long we needed to. Yes, it was a lot of fun.
Was it overwhelming having them back to back? Are you kind of happy you kind of chunked it all together?
You know, that's a good question. It was overwhelming during it, but now I'm glad that like we got those two done and we don't have to do it like for a third week or something like that. So it's nice, but now I should be done work traveling until fall.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Yes.
That's good.
Yep. Absolutely. What about you? What's new with you?
Not too much on my end. I was just telling Julian prior to this that I've been experimenting with different flavors in my sourdough. So you guys know, I think at this point that I am a sourdough fanatic. I love to bake it and I love to gift it to people. So Julian and Alex have kind of been my dummies of, I made a cheddar jalapeno.
Oh, I cannot wait to try it.
And this weekend, I wanted to try miniature loaves because sometimes with the flavors, it can be a little overwhelming to have such a big loaf of it. Especially if you don't like it.
Oh,
because I was a little worried about, you know, it sounds good, but what if you don't like that in your bread? So I wanted
to give
it to
us. If you don't like it, we'll try it.
Well, yeah. But I was thinking of you too. Like if you and Alex didn't like it in your bread, well, then you only have a little miniature one to get through. You don't have to feel like.
But what happens when that loaf of bread is gone tonight?
Well, then I know I can make you a big one.
Yes.
It's like a sample size.
The last time you gave us a loaf, it was a big loaf. And I kid you not, it was gone in less than 3 days. I just, you know, throughout the day, like, so I work from home 3 days a week. And sometimes in between meetings, like, I just want to eat something. And I would just go and grab a chunk of sourdough. No butter, nothing. I would just eat it. And it was amazing.
And I was telling her, too, that it's actually a very healthy snack. It's not as, I mean, it's still carbs, but it's much healthier for you than other processed breads.
So yeah, exactly.
Still a good choice.
Awesome. Well, this week's episode, we're going to talk about money, right?
Yeah.
Saving and spending and budgeting and I don't know, all of it. So I have always been, and I will say frugal, I'm not cheap because I know when you have to spend more money for good quality.
Right.
And
right,
I think
right.
That's the big difference between being cheap and being frugal.
Yes.
Right? Like cellophane, off brand. It's totally fine. Milk, off brand. Mm-hmm. Cream cheese, Philadelphia all the way. Off-brand cream cheese doesn't do it for me.
And this is where, like, my husband and I can differ sometimes is I can be very much cheap.
Yeah, okay.
And Logan is very much like, just spend the money on the good stuff. And sometimes I just have a hard time with, I can't think of a good example off the top of my head, but sometimes I have a hard time spending that extra money on it.
Yeah.
If I think it's absolutely the same as something else. And he very much is, I can tell the difference in quality. And sometimes I don't. So
yes.
But you're totally right. Some things you just got to spend the money on.
Yep, exactly. Absolutely. Obviously, investments like vehicles and stuff like that, you're better off just spending the money and not paying for it later.
Right.
But yeah, so I'm excited for this week's topic. Yeah. It's been something, I don't know, I've always just been really money focused. I feel like you too, because we both worked throughout high school.
Yes.
So we have always been like saving money, spending our own money, you know.
Yeah, we never, yeah, I guess neither one of us have ever been in a position that we've had to have mom and dad help us out. And I'm not saying that was a bad thing.
Yeah.
We were just very motivated to have jobs, and we liked having our own money. We liked to not have to depend on our parents.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I have no problem asking my parents for money if I get in a pinch or if I just don't feel like spending something.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But I liked having that financial freedom from a younger age, too.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
So Jelaine and I thought it'd be fun to try to change up how we do today's episode. Instead of sitting and just conversing about money, we thought we would do a Q&A. So Jolene is definitely, in my opinion, kind of the money guru, and she's really good at finding the deals. She's really good at saving the money. So I'm going to guide her through some budget questions and some money questions, and then we'll carry the conversation from there.
Awesome. I'm excited.
So the first one I have is, how do you create a budget?
Yes, and I love this as the first question, because I truly believe making a budget, it's not something that you just sit down and you do. It's trial and error. So when I first started making a budget with Alex and I, to me, and this is not how it always has to work for everybody, but for me, it's analyzing what you're currently spending. Like, where are you at right now? Where are you spending too much? Where are you not spending enough? Where can you cut? So like, now that our budget is pretty set, every year I redo our budget. But before I did that, it was analyzing what we're spending. So looking at how much are we spending on eating out? How much are we spending at the grocery store? You know, literally, where does every dollar go? Do it for a month. Just keep track of it. And then you look back at it and think, okay, we overspent there. Okay, now this month, let's try to not overspend in that area. And then you go into the next month and you make some changes. I really think it takes like a year to set a good, strong budget. I was just listening to one of my favorite podcasts. It's called The Money with Katie Show. It's produced by The Morning Brew, which is like my favorite. It just like sends you an email in the morning that's like non-politics. Like, it's just straight to the point. I love it. But she has a good point. She said, I think she says every day she spends 5 minutes on looking at her spending. I don't do that. I try to every week spend like 10 minutes looking at what I spent the week before. And then she says every month you spend 30 minutes and every year you spend 2 hours.
Okay.
And that's not like cumulative. So it's, you know, every month you spend 30 minutes, obviously 12 months at 6 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then every year when she does her annual review, it takes like 2 hours.
Right.
I really think, like, the biggest part of budgeting is just learning where you're spending your money.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't even realize it. Like, for me and Alex, a big part was alcohol. We're like, okay, every time we go out to eat, if we each get 2 drinks, there's easily, I mean, gosh, nowadays, that'd be like 30, 40 bucks a week. You know what I mean? And you know, Alex and I met when I was 21 and he was 25. So that was a big party time of our lives, right? And when we realized how much we were spending on our Michigan Ave in Sheboygan, you know what I mean? We're like, okay, how about we have friends over and we buy a case of beer?
It's so interesting to have that perspective too, because if you break things down that way, I'm sure some of you listening are like, oh my gosh, yeah, you're right. Like, if Logan and I go on a date night, we automatically know that $30 to $40 of our spending is just drinks alone.
Yeah, exactly. And it's fine when you know that going into it. But sometimes I think, you know, when you don't realize where that money is being spent, how can you change it or fix it if you don't know where it's going? Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I'm just going to add a follow-up question to this. How are you tracking all this? So what tools do you use?
Great question. So Alex and I are very big on credit cards. And with that being said, we pay our bill off in full every month. We never pay a penny of interest. But another reason I love credit cards is because it does make budgeting and like knowing where you spend your money super easy.
Right.
Every credit card you can go in and you can, you know, pick your dates and export it into an Excel document. I'm an Excel geek. Oh, maybe I can work on something like a template that people can use like that. Yeah. But you can just export your spending. And basically what I do then is I just go through line by line and I categorize it. Groceries. You have to have a miscellaneous, right? Because there's some things that just don't go into a category.
Right.
But what's on groceries? What's on gas? What's on, you know, oil changes? What's on getting my hair done? Or, you know what I mean?
another question to add into that. So Jolene and I both go to the same daycare, and she's cash only. So how do you keep track of your cash purchases too? Do you have a category in your spreadsheet that you add when you know that there's some things you can only pay cash for?
Great question.
Or can only pay out of your checking account?
Yep. Then I go to the checking account and I look at the checks that we wrote out. And then there's obviously we spend cash too, but we really, I'm the opposite as most people. So, you might know Dave Ramsey. I agree with some of his stuff, definitely not all of it, but he's really big on, oh, you know, the psychology is that if you have a credit card, you're going to spend more money. You should only use cash. I disagree. If I got $20 in my pocket, it's burning a hole. And I'm like, where can I spend it? Like, I am like a teenager all over again.
Oh, yeah. For me, it's girl math. It's like, I didn't really spend it if I spent or if I buy it in cash.
Yes. So if I withdrew the money last month, that means it counted on a last month's budget. So that's free money. Totally.
Or like if you don't want your husband to know that you like went to Big B's or Starbucks, like I will find cash in the house.
Yes.
So nobody can track me.
There is nothing I love more than opening up my PayPal or Venmo and being like, you have $50. I'm like, hell yeah, I got $50. Like big money. Go spend it.
So funny. All right. Oh, good. Yes. Good. Do we want to go in? What's this mean?
I don't remember.
How do you build?
Oh, building an emergency fund.
Yeah. How do you build an emergency fund?
Yep. So to me, building an emergency fund is a little bit at a time, right? I have to say, Alex and I both came into our relationship with an emergency fund. So it made it a little bit easier. But if I were starting from scratch, it would be $50 a week or $50 a month, whatever I can afford. It would also be when I look at my spending, I would say, okay, let's say last month I spent $100 on eating out. I'm going to this month spend $50 on eating out, and that $50 is going to go towards my emergency fund. One thing that Alex and I did do, though, is once we had our emergency fund set up, then, you know, and that this is taking Dave Ramsey's advice too, but then it's, okay, now let's add more to our mortgage payment. Now let's add more to if we have a car payment or if we're paying anything else off, you know, get that emergency fund set. And then, you know, start paying off debt.
Okay.
One thing that I think is really important, too, is everybody's emergency fund amount is different. It's made for 6 months of spending. You know, some people are like, has to be $10,000. Well, if you are really good at living beneath your means and $10,000 is going to get you a lot further than 6 months, you don't need a $10,000 emergency fund.
I was going to say, I think going into starting an emergency fund, maybe start your goal a little bit smaller so it doesn't feel so intimidating.
Yes.
Because I hear $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, and that intimidates me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So by no means, I think when you create an emergency fund, should you jump to those big numbers. Maybe start small. Say, I'm going to create an emergency fund that has $2,500.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You get to that goal, then you up it to five. And then you up it to $7,500 and so on and so forth. So
I also think what's important with that is you celebrate when you hit your goal.
Yeah.
That's a big thing to me is, whether it's a financial goal or a fitness goal or a work goal, I always have a reward dangling in front of me. Whether it's eating out at a favorite restaurant or getting a babysitter for a date night or it's just buying new shoes. Mm-hmm. Like everything to me, I'm a very goal-oriented person. Maybe even like to a...
And I think...
I don't know.
I think as moms now, I don't know if you feel this way ever, but whenever I do have a little extra money, I always feel the tendency to spend it on my children and buy them something nice or buy them a little extra something or whatever it may be. And when I do spend something on myself, I feel incredibly guilty. I mean, mom guilt is an episode for another day, but...
Oh, it is. But...
But I need a new pair of shoes. And we had some extra money, but I bought the kids' shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, they needed shoes too, but like, I also need to remember... I need the essentials.
Yes, right.
I'm not less than anybody else in the house here. I need shoes on my feet.
Yes, same way. So literally last week we were going to the Milwaukee Admirals game. It's a AHL. It's a hockey game. And I was at Walmart before doing my shopping for the week. And I'm like, oh, look at this. It's a navy blue kids sweatshirt for Jordy. It's on clearance for $15. I'm like, I'm going to grab it. I put it in my cart and then I'm like, Jolene, if that was for you, would you buy it? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Go put it back. Like, if you weren't going to spend $15 on yourself for a sweater, Don't do it for the kids. Jordy has a million hoodies. He
doesn't need another one. I have that same thought every time I go shopping. I put it in the cart and I have no problem for the kids.
Yep.
But the second I pick something out for myself, I'm like, oh, but I could spend that $10 here or there.
Yes, exactly. I'm the same way. And usually when I'm thinking I can spend it somewhere else, it's not on me.
Yeah.
It's and the same thing even with Alex, too. When I'm buying him stuff, I'll be like, oh, yeah, $60 Under Armour shirt. I would never, ever buy a $60 shirt for myself. Never.
But for your husband?
But for my, exactly. No problem. He doesn't deserve it. No, I'm just kidding. We both do. But it's just something, you're totally right in getting rid of that
mom guilt. So I guess piece of advice there. Just buy the damn thing. If you can afford it, just do it.
Yep, exactly.
Speaking of those darn kids.
Yes.
How do we help prepare them for financial success in the future? How do you save for your kids?
So this is something that you and I both do something different. Yep. So I'm really excited to talk about this. So Alex and I have a financial advisor through Gentian in Mequon. So if anybody's looking for one, let me know. I will definitely share his name. Zach is awesome. And we have 529 set up. Now, I think that's a Wisconsin thing, though, 529s. Maybe not. Maybe it's federal. I don't know. This is why I have a financial advisor. I don't know this stuff.
That's their ballpark.
Yes, exactly. But each month, I think we put $50 away for both kids in a 529. Now, one thing that worries me about it is, so my husband works in the trades. Yes, he went to college, and yes, he has a journeyman's card, but the degrees he actually uses work paid for. He doesn't really use his degree that he paid for. So with a 529, the money has to be used for college or school expenses. Yep. And that just worries me because Alex has built a very successful career on his journeyman's card and his associate's degree that was paid for by work. So what if Jordy or Olivia want to do the same thing? So it's something that we put money away for, but not too much. Now, I know that it can be transferred, so if one decides to go to college and not the other, like, you know, I know all of that.
It's not like the money doesn't get used in some way, shape, or form.
Exactly, exactly. But now, you were telling me about the UTMA?
It's called an UTMA. So, again, I'm not a financial advisor. I couldn't tell you exactly what it stands for, but I know what it does.
Yes.
So, we also have a financial advisor, which we're going to get into in a second, too, about how you should get one. And Logan had an UTMA growing up as well, too. So my husband did not go to college. I mean, actually, that's not true. He did dabble in it, but he didn't graduate with an associate's degree. Also works in the trades. He's a carpenter, and he does very well for himself. Mm-hmm. But he was very passionate when we started thinking about saving for the kids' future that he didn't want anything that was going to restrict. So our financial advisor offered this UTMA. And basically what I'm understanding is it's a trust that we control until a certain age. And then we can decide between the ages of 18 and 25, I believe, to sign it over to our kids. And they can use that money how they see fit. So let's say, for example, Sebastian doesn't know what he wants to do right at 18. I don't have to release that money to him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he kind of, I don't know, let's say he travels or does whatever for a couple of years, just works. I could release that money to him when he's 22 and he says, okay, I have a full-time job now. I want to start investing in a house, or I want to move here. I want to buy my first big boy car or something like that. So we can release it to him whenever we see the time is fit for him and when he maybe has his own future plan for him. It doesn't have to be used for college.
Okay, yeah.
So that's the nice part about it too.
My guess is it has to be tax differences somehow. You know what I mean? How it's taxed, how the interest made is taxes. It's got to be a difference there somehow. But we meet with Zach, I think, next month. So I definitely plan on asking him. So maybe I'll follow up on this.
Yes. And again, don't quote us on all that
nitty-gritty
stuff. But we're not the professionals. We have people to help us with that.
I don't know what legal topics we need, but insert them here to know that we are not we are not financial people.
Yeah.
We've just learned as we went along.
Yeah. Take what we say with a grain of salt.
Yes.
So
exactly.
But yeah, and we do the same thing. I mean, we still put $50 a month in it for each kid. And it works for us. And obviously that works for you. There's no wrong way to help your kids save for the future.
Exactly.
As long as you're helping them save for the future.
Yep, I agree. I completely agree. My parents did not pay for my college. Mm-hmm. I paid for all of it. Now, don't get me wrong. They'd come and visit me up in college. They'd give me $100 for groceries. You know what I mean? And they did pay my cell phone and my car insurance all through college. But I distinctly remember my mom saying, show me where it's written that I have to pay for your college. Nobody paid for mine. You know, you can picture Sandy, right?
Oh, yes, I can.
But no, it's true. And that's why I've been very big on, I don't know that I'm going to tell Jordy and Olivia that we're saving for their college. Yeah. Because I don't want them to feel entitled to that money. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, I'll go get my PhD if and spend the money if you don't need it or you're going to be irresponsible. Yeah. Like, I will and do it despite you.
I think that brings up a good point, too. We never want our kids to feel that that pressure that's being saved has to be used for a certain school or a certain career. I never want my kids to feel like, well, my mom saved money to go to college, so I better go.
Exactly.
And she expects me to go to this college. That's just not how I roll.
I completely
don't want that pressure there.
And I know some people are different. I went to this college. My children will go to this college and their children will. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. I mean, I went to UW Oshkosh. I loved it, but I don't feel like my kids have to go to it. Yeah. I don't feel any ties to it.
Yeah, there's no emotional connections to any school. So if that's you, that's totally cool. Yeah,
even though they want me to have an emotional connection and donate. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. It's like, sorry, Muskies, I feel nothing.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Last topic I want to talk about, and still in connection with the kids, is we know kids are one of the most expensive expenses.
Yes, if not
parents
the.
Encounter. Or yes. In our lifetime, we're going to encounter as children. I mean, there's other ones too, but kids are expensive. They're an investment, that's for sure.
Yes. An investment, but I don't know that you ever get the money back. There's just an investment in your happiness.
I keep hoping my children will do well in life. Yes. And they will take me on a lot of trips.
Yes, I love it.
So how do you find deals? How do you keep on? How do you cut corners in parenting in terms of money? Or how do we...
Yeah, I don't know that it's cutting corners. I think it's... I can't think of anything off the top of my head to call it, but it's... I feel like cutting corners sounds negative. And I don't think it does. It's negative. So one thing that I love, I should actually open this up. I use this app called Ibotta. And it's basically, what sucks about it is you have to like go through and save deals. But basically, I just have to scan save deals and then scan my receipts when I'm done. I've been using Ibotta probably 5 years. And my lifetime earnings is $974.
That's impressive.
So there's like... almost $1,000 just by clicking in an app and then scanning my receipts when I'm done. So
and if I remember correctly, I used to use Ibotta. It comes down to just I don't remember to do it. It's not like it's hard.
Yeah.
None of the stuff Jolene is going to talk about is hard to do. It's just taking a few moments out of your day to do it. Mm-hmm. But it's all manufacturer coupons. It's just all in one spot.
So and the best part is, so like today when I went grocery shopping, I was getting Dove hand soap. And... there was $4.96. There was a $2 Ibotta, and there was a $2 coupon on it. I got that $5 thing for 96 cents. I was super proud of myself. I was super, super proud of myself.
I know. It's like we see, like, I watch TikTok videos sometimes about couponing or how do you go to the Dollar General and what coupon should you clip for the week. It's not hard to do.
No, it's not.
It's just a little time consuming on your end to find the deals and then go execute and
exactly.
do that.
Another thing I do to Target. So every other week, Target will have buy X amount in diapers, get an X amount gift card.
Mm-hmm.
I will only buy diapers when that is one of their deals to get the gift card. And I always save the gift card to use it for the next diapers.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it's just, and usually it's like spend $100, get a $25 gift card. That's 25% off.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, like, and don't get me wrong, actually, just like last month, Alex was like, okay, I think we're good on nighttime diapers for Olivia. We have like 6 cases. Because every time I'd get 2 of the big day diapers and then 1 of the night diapers. Obviously, you go through the day diapers more frequently. And he's like, I think she's set until she's like potty trained. I'm like, all right, good. I'll just
perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Throw them in the basement. I guess that's another thing, too, that I do is buy in bulk. You know, and I know that it's when you're maybe living paycheck to paycheck, it's hard to buy in bulk, right? But just let yourself get $100 ahead so you can buy in bulk. I mean, I can't, our toilet paper, our paper towel, our applesauces.
But sometimes it's also a mind game. Like, you have to remind yourself, if I spend a lot this paycheck, and go through your paychecks and figure out maybe, like, for me and Logan, like, we have some paychecks. Like, we have a lot of bills in the beginning of the month versus the end.
Yeah.
So the end of the month is where we would buy in bulk on stuff. Mm-hmm. But think about what you're saving later on in the month, too. So
that's
it's an
point.
Upfront cost now, but
yeah,
then you're not buying all that stuff later on.
Yep.
Or as frequently.
That brings up another really good point. If you are somebody that gets paid every other week, there are 2 months every calendar year that you get 3 paychecks mm-hmm. instead of 2. What do you do with it?
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, not right now, but ask yourself, what do you do with those extra paychecks? If you don't have an emergency fund, there you go, bingo. Yep. If you have debt, put 100% of it to your debt. Yep. You know what I mean? But every year, Alex looks up and when the month is that we'll each have 3 paychecks, and in our mind, we already are like, okay, we're going to do that with
yep.
it. We're going to invest in our Roth IRA with
yep.
it. We're going to... You know, when, you know, pay extra on the mortgage with it or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, those months, kind of bringing it back, those months are when you can buy the bulk. With kids, totally utilize, like, while you're pregnant. I remember, so when you're pregnant, you go to the OBGYN, you have to pee in a cup every single time. Look where those cups are, because there's probably coupons. There's probably, like, samples of baby wash, maybe samples of baby formula. Dude, I would bring my purse, and I would just grab a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Like, they're out there for a reason.
Absolutely.
Use it. Same with the pediatrics. If you want to try a new formula, go to your pediatrician. Ask them for samples. Ask them for coupons. If your baby's going to be formula fed, sign up for Similac. They'll send you, oh my gosh, I still get coupons for Similac.
Yeah.
And Enfamil? Whatever
yeah.
that other one is with the E. Sign up for both of them, you know. And if you don't use them, there's going to be somebody in your daycare or at your mm-hmm. work that can use them also.
Yep.
But it's really doing that. We both... buy Pampers, and they have a
rewards coupon.
Exactly. Yep. Scan them.
Yeah.
Use that.
It takes 2 seconds to scan the code.
Exactly.
It takes 5 if it doesn't read it on your camera and you have to manually put it in.
Yeah.
So, still worth it, though. Still
yes,
worth it.
Yes, exactly. It's just those little things that, hey, diapers are not cheap.
No.
And
no.
if I can get a free thing of diapers every 6 months, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. it's just, and that little stuff, it really does add up. Another thing we were going to say is preparing for the finances of a baby.
Yeah.
One thing that Alex and I did is we lived like Jordy was born before Jordy was born.
Mm-hmm.
So money that would eventually be going to daycare, while I was pregnant, we were acting like we had to pay daycare
yep.
just to get into the groove of things. Like, the last thing you want is to be surprised. Oh, and have a baby not sleeping at night. like do it while the baby's still in your belly and
yeah.
get used to it then.
Yep. What I was going to say too is Logan and I took a very similar approach. Again, we both planned our pregnancies. So just
yep.
keep in mind too, I totally understand if you end up in a situation where your pregnancy is not planned. It can be very overwhelming
yes.
to think about the expenses. But I think the advice she's giving of live like you already have the baby is really helpful. So it kind of trains yourself into living within your means.
Yeah.
Logan and I had found our babysitter kind of early on in my pregnancy. I think I was only like 3 or 4 months pregnant when we like solidified who our daycare was. And I knew what she was going to charge us.
Mm-hmm.
I knew how many hours Subby was going to be there.
Yeah.
So I mentally, kind of like what you're saying, kind of tracked how much per week I was going to be spending at daycare. So I could be mentally prepared for that in the future. Because when you get that first bill, sometimes it's like,
oh, man. Yeah.
But
it's a mortgage. It's
yeah.
seriously, daycare
yeah.
is a mortgage.
Yep.
It's crazy. We are getting close to 30 minutes. So I do want to close it out. But with, I believe, my biggest piece of advice. You
yep.
might have a piece of advice.
No, I was just going to say, we're going to end with what is our best financial advice.
Okay.
So.
Oh, I love it. Don't keep up with the Joneses. And it is so hard to do this
mm-hmm.
in like your early 20s. But just because somebody else is going and buying a new car or buying $250 shoes or designer handbag or anything, it does not mean you have to. And I really think that's how Alex and I got to be financially successful, is because we weren't trying to compete with people when
yep.
we were younger. We drove cars that were paid off that weren't the nicest cars, but they
yep.
were paid off and they were going to gas. So we drove them for 6-7 years.
Yep.
You know, that's, and because of it, now we can do things like go on vacations every other month and you know what I mean? Spend in other ways because we didn't waste money early on
mm-hmm.
on trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Right.
And I really think that's, that's something big to help.
And I think it's a big sign of your pride too. I mean, Logan and I do our very best every month to try to make a little bit more money. Because Logan's hourly, so we always try. But again, you just have to remember how much you do make. Yeah. And you can still live a good life on what you do make.
Exactly. You got a budget.
Yeah, you got a budget. And you can still have nice things. Yeah. Maybe you just don't get them as quick as other people. Yeah. But it's okay.
Exactly. You'll get there.
Uh-huh. Set those
and
goals.
In your budget, make sure you have money in it for you.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's $10 a week, so you can go to your Big B Coffee. Yeah. Or, you know what I mean? But start with 10 bucks a week. Maybe it's only 10 bucks a month that you start with, but something that you get to splurge stress-free.
Yep, absolutely.
What's your one piece of financial advice? Sorry, I put you on the spot. I didn't...
No, that's okay. Well, I also teach economics at school. So the one thing I always tell kids is you should be saving at least 10% of your paycheck.
Oh, I like that.
So... Yeah. Even if, as an adult, you're not always doing 10% of your paycheck, I think it's something to start
moving towards.
Yeah. If it's not 10%, then set a dollar amount.
Yeah.
$50 out of every paycheck goes to savings. And I think that just creates good habits.
Yeah, I agree. What helps with that, too, is direct deposit it into a separate account where you don't even see it. Alex and I, we have money that goes into a separate savings account out of, I can't remember whose paycheck. We don't look at it. Yep. It just goes there and it's kind of forgotten.
Yeah, and you can tell your employer to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So then it's not even on you to set up.
Yes, exactly. So we are over 31 minutes.
That's okay.
I think it just means this is a good topic and we should talk about it again.
Yeah, if you guys have any other financial tips or questions that you want to have us answer or things that are working for you, we would love to continue the conversation.
Absolutely. So check us out on our Instagram.
Yes.
What is that? It's Just a Phase Pod?
Yep, It's Just a Phase Pod.
Woo! Have a good week, everyone.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Bye-bye.